you in the whole 6010.
Hello and welcome into Fantasy Focus. Today's show is presented by Geico. Switch to Geico, see all the ways that you could save. It is Wednesday, November 15th. I am joined, like I always am on Wednesdays, by my friends Field Yates and Mike Clay. Mike, how you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing all right. You know, it's very warm in here and you guys are wearing sweatshirts somehow. I don't know how you're doing that. I had one on, had to take it off. I would be passed out right now.
It is well, warm. Mike. When we have major PLL news like we did yesterday.
That's right, Mike.
The PLL has announced its new 8 cities, including the great city of Boston, the city that I call home. The Boston Cannons are the official team of Boston. What's old is new again is the Boston Cannons were part of the MLL in its original format. Now they are part of the PLL. So they are not just the PLL Cannons. They are the Boston Cannons. So shout out to everybody over at the PLL. Shout out to the Boston Cannons. We're going undefeated this season. Don't at me if this doesn't happen because it's just going to happen. It's going to happen. We're going undefeated next year.
Full
Peyton
Manning. You're saying we for everything, huh? That's how this is going to work.
That's fair. That's a good point.
I've always been partial to teams that are the red, white, and blue color. So maybe
so you
my
like
team.
It?
That's my
spot. Right. I mean, that makes sense. Your Eagles, sure. Kelly Green.
No, that, I mean, it was other
you
than
make
that.
Exceptions.
So I grew up like going to the vet. So the Eagles were number one, but it was like I caught on to the Sixers.
Okay.
They had those colors growing up.
You caught on to them. They're your home team.
Hockey was Avalanche when I was a kid.
Oh,
Colorado
really?
Avalanche. The Braves.
Yep.
Were my baseball team and Mark Martin, Valvoline sponsorship growing up. Like, I just, for whatever reason.
You know what? Hold on. We're going to talk about football in a second.
Come on.
But let's think. So, like, the Avalanche back in the day with Joe Sakic won the cup.
Yeah.
Right after. So, you like them. Ray Bourque, trade for Ray Bourque. You win the cup. So, you're an Avalanche fan at that point. Patrick Waugh, of course. Yep. Then the Braves, who, of course, infamously won just one World Series, but had that incredible run with Smoltz and Maddox and Glavine. Oh, after that.
Well, this was like when Andrew Jones showed up. But no, I always like second place teams. Like Mark Martin, famous for being second. Like he's never won a championship. Same with Braves, never got over the top, really. Avalanche for a long time had that issue as well. So Eagles as well, NFC championships.
I feel like, and I could be so wrong here, but I feel like I saw that Andrew Jones' son is like an
superstar.
Elite baseball prospect. And you're like, there's no way that Andrew Jones is old enough to have a kid who's like a 22-year-old superstar for the Padres AAA team.
And social media is pointing out, I've been getting lots of, I think you actually sent me this as well, but a lot of people have been tagging me in this. Chad Pennington's son.
Yes.
Yeah, he's awesome as
have
well.
Have you guys seen the stats?
Yeah, no. I have, but remind me.
So it's Chad Pennington's son, he plays in Kentucky.
Okay.
As of last check, and maybe he's played a game since Mike and I discussed this a couple of days ago, has 47 touchdowns and 0 picks this year.
Is that
what?
Good?
That's video game level.
Yeah.
That's unreal.
Yes. Unbelievable.
Is he going to be in your top 5 conversation when you're looking at draft stuff, Field?
Well, he's a high school junior, so maybe.
Okay, so probably not.
Maybe not this year.
Not this year, but maybe
start
out there.
Get ahead on him.
That's right.
He is, Adam and Dynasty.
People, sources are telling me he's considering Wesleyan and Alabama.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So we'll see whether he ends up with the Cardinals or the Crimson Tide. Yes, he wants to win a championship, so he'll probably go to Wesleyan.
That's so good. Yeah, that checks out. Hey, we got a really fun show planned for you guys today. We are talking about week 11 rankings. We got a bunch of stuff we're going to get into. We also are going to do the start, bench, cut conversation we didn't get to yesterday, but our producers hate us so much, they want to make sure that we have to talk about it today.
Yeah.
It's going to be a very difficult one to go through and decide, make some of these decisions.
Right. I told Daniel yesterday was let's just cut the start, bench, cut segment the show yesterday. That'll make it easy.
And then start it today.
That's
where we're at.
We might bench it today and start it tomorrow.
I wish we could bench the first part of this conversation. We're going to dive in, though, to some news we got right before the show this morning. Found out Deshaun Watson is going to be out for the season. Has right shoulder is going to be going under undergoing season ending surgery on a broken bone in his right throwing shoulder.
Yeah, yeesh.
Which is not great. He obviously was looking not fantastic last week. He injured himself in the game, ended up coming out, came back in. Field, now we're at this spot. You got no Deshaun Watson. There's not really a conversation about Deshaun Watson in fantasy anymore. How is this going to impact the Cleveland Browns offense?
Yeah, Deshaun had been, at least of late, only mattering in two quarterback leagues for those that were still starting him in those two quarterback formats. But That noise you hear in the background of this podcast right now is those who have Amari Cooper on their roster. How about this? And I'm sure Mike will be able to augment to perhaps even have more information than I do about the Browns offense without Deshaun Watson. But a couple of important numbers. PJ Walker and Dorian Thompson-Robinson, the two men that have filled in for Deshaun Watson this season in basically five games because basically four games. Deshaun has started six of nine, but really only played a few snaps in that game in which Indianapolis, he was pulled early.
Yep.
In those basically four games, Dorian Thompson-Robinson and PJ Walker have accounted for one passing touchdown, eight interceptions, and a completion percentage of 50.
That is
a non-functioning passing offense. Amari Cooper, of course, has played nine games this season. Five of his six highest yardage totals have come with Deshaun Watson. Mm-hmm. Stock down for Amari Cooper, stock down for the Browns pass catchers in general, stock down for this offense, and this might mean the Browns are no longer a playoff team this season because of how competitive the AFC is, and despite how great their defense is, Mike, there's only so much that a defense can do to overcome an offense that might be lucky to score a touchdown per game.
Yeah, you're right. We're going to go back to the old Kevin Stefanski super run-heavy offense, and we've seen that so far this season. So you're right. Watson played most of the snaps in five games. There were three games for PJ Walker, who I'll focus in on here for the sake of these splits. I suspect he'll start this week, but there is chatter that Thompson Robinson could be in that mix as well. But he only has one game, so not a lot to pull from that. The Browns leaned a little bit toward the run with Watson under center. They were the third run heaviest team in the NFL when Walker was the quarterback. So keep that in mind.
Whoa.
But check this out. I thought this was really interesting. I looked at the passing and rushing splits between the Watson games and the Walker games.
Yep.
Rushing 155 yards per game with five touchdowns on the ground with three games with Walker. And Walker was doing very little. Watson, 154.6 yards per game. Oh, a half a yard difference between the two and five touchdowns in five games with Watson. So they were scoring more rushing touchdowns and the rushing yardage was about the same. So that's your Jerome Ford, Kareem Hunt analysis right there. They're going to run more. The production was still good. Those guys should be fine as, we'll say, back end RB2s for Ford and maybe a flex for Kareem Hunt.
Okay.
Passing, 222 yards per game with seven passing touchdowns in the five Watson games. 211 yards per game with Walker. So only 11 yards difference. Thought that was interesting, but of course only the one touchdown. So I'm with you. I think there's a downgrade. Just adding a little bit more to this. Cooper did have 8+ targets in all three games with Walker. Mm. His fantasy point production was down by 6 points per game, which is huge, but his target share was up. Yeah. So maybe some hope he can hang on as a manageable wide receiver three, something like that. David Njoku, much better with Walker, actually. Walker liked going to the tight end. 22% target share, 11.2 points per game with Walker. 16% with Watson, that's down quite a bit, and 8.3 points per game. So maybe there's something there for Njoku. And then one more player, Elijah Moore, a little bit worse with Walker. Not, you know, we're thinking about him as a flex some weeks, maybe not quite as appealing. So that's my spiel on the whole thing.
Yeah.
Take that for what it's worth. I think we kind of agree, right? A downgrade for Cooper, still starting him more on benches, maybe even waived. You don't necessarily need to hold Elijah Moore. David Njoku, a fringe tight end one, and Ford and Hunt, all systems go. Should be the same.
So I want to dive into that. We actually had this Jerome Ford, Kareem Hunt conversation scheduled for a little bit later in the show, but when we did that, we didn't
just
know about
now,
all this Deshaun
right?
Watson coverage. So let's start there and talk about some of these running backs, because I think you laid out the pass catchers really well, Mike Field. When you look at these running backs, Kareem Hunt has come on the last couple of weeks. He has a touchdown in
five straight
games. So when you look at this, he's not getting as much volume as Jerome Ford, but he is getting the production from that. So now that they take on the Steelers this week, with all this new information we've added at the quarterback position, how are you approaching these two running backs in week 11?
I wonder how different the tenor would be on both Jerome Ford and Kareem Hunt if Hunt had not scored a touchdown in five straight games. Like if he had scored just two touchdowns over five games, which, by the way, that's like a reasonable expectation for a player of Kareem Hunt's caliber.
Absolutely.
Call it about seven for the season. You'd be like, yeah, that tracks for Kareem Hunt.
Totally.
We'd be talking about how Jerome Ford continues to dominate the carries in this backfield and, by the way, continues to run pretty efficiently in terms of yards per carry as well.
Yep.
So the touchdowns have saved Kareem Hunt, but Ford has such a dramatic rushing attempts edge that I have him ranked ahead of Kareem Hunt, especially with the idea in mind that while Mike did back up, they have been basically running the football as effectively with and without Deshaun Watson. I still think it's going to be harder to get to those goal-to-go situations with PJ Walker under center. Mm-hmm. So fair. Some of the goal-to-go opportunities that Kareem Hunt has thrived off of in recent weeks are not going to be nearly as effective. I shouldn't say as effective, but not quite as frequent now with PJ Walker. So I will lean towards Jerome Ford as like the pretty clear Browns running back that I want to start week in and week out.
Yeah, and how about this? Ford has finished as a top 25 fantasy running back in 7 of his last 8 games.
Yeah.
But so effective, that's solid. Huh? That's a solid floor, a flex option, maybe an RB2. And actually, I feel like I've had the more positive Ford spin, and I'm slightly lower. Actually, I don't know if you guys tweaked yet for
I have not the made news my yet, rankings so, conversation.
Yeah, maybe we'll end up about the same spot. But yeah. I think we agree there's been a lot of volume here. 18 touches last week, 25 the week prior. This guy is a fringe RB2 on volume alone. Yeah. And in a what's going to be a very run-heavy offense, he could push for 20 carries most weeks.
That's Do you know what I think about Mike is like, I think when a guy has scored in like 2 or 3 straight games, sometimes my mindset goes to like, yeah, you know, I'd hate to be the guy that benches the player that scored in back-to-back games.
That's me and Gabe Davis, Field.
But once it reaches a certain number, you're like, okay, I get it. Like at some point, it's going to come to an end.
I think
and that might be where we've reached with Kareem.
I think that's a really good point because when you look at it, you're like, how do you bench a guy that has 6 touchdowns in the last 5 games? Well, I'm going to say this. Jerome Ford has, over those 5 games, far more targets. 17 targets to 6 for Kareem Hunt.
Yep.
He has more yards from scrimmage, 410 to 239. He has more touches, total, 85 to 64. So he's just getting more work. It's just the fact that Kareem Hunt has found the painted area.
Jamal Williams this year something.
Yeah. So you're still defaulting.
I like that, the painted area.
That's what it's called, right? Mm-hmm. We call it the painted area.
Zone?
We need different names for it. I like that.
Yeah, like you're switching it up a little bit. So
what was the game earlier this year where like an hour before kickoff, they were showing players like stepping through the end zone and like the player's footprints were tracking through the end zone because they had, like, painted it and they like forgot the fact that it has to dry before you can play a game. Yeah. I can't remember what that was.
Was it one of the European games? I don't think so.
I feel like they've got their I's dotted and T's crossed more before one of those big events.
It feels like one of those need a Snickers commercials, right? Where it's like you're walking through and you've got the footsteps. Right? Yeah, the chefs. That's exactly where
my brain went.
Yeah.
So just a quick aside here. What a disaster for the Browns in so many ways. Mm-hmm. Watson, through two seasons, has played a total of 12 games. One of which he left very early this year. The last 6 last year, which were largely a disaster. It's got $138 million still owed to him. That means the team has paid him $92 million for 12 games.
$7.7 million per game.
Yeah.
$7.7 million per game.
Yeah, he's going to be one of those guys. Remember last in the offseason we did a show of like the hardest players to rank?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's going to be a headliner for that one next year.
I don't know, Mike. So, all right, make the case for being optimistic on him next year.
Well, I think that he's kind of run into a buzzsaw of tough matchups as well and some weather as well this year. So I think he's actually had some good fantasy games. He's had like 3 20-plus games. Like
fair.
He's been hanging in there and in tough matchups, tough situations, still been like a back-end QB1. That's been his performance. So
you say that, but he was like one of the best quarterbacks in the league just a few years ago. Like to go from being the top 5 guy to the guy that I'm seeing with my eyes this year feels like there's just been a drop off. And maybe that's just me as a fan.
I don't think he's playing that elite level he was this last year in Houston where he led the league in passing yards.
But 6.5 yards per attempt in each season with Cleveland.
Yeah.
But $92 million with $138 million still guaranteed to Deshaun Watson over the next 3 years. Yeah, plus the fact that they've structured the deal in a way in which it becomes very difficult for them to, even in like a miraculous circumstance, to get out from underneath it. And how about this that I was thinking about earlier today? Remember last year during the draft when we all thought it was crazy that Houston was going to pay that massive price to move up from pick 11 to pick 3?
Yep.
What was perhaps the craziest part about it was that they were willing to trade their own pick and not Cleveland's to move up. Their own pick might end up being less valuable than Cleveland's based off how the season could unfold for the final 8 weeks.
That's amazing.
They're a game worse than the Browns, the Texans are, with a healthy quarterback who's a star.
Oh my.
By the end of this weekend, it would not surprise me if the Browns are 6-4 and the Texans are 6-4. By the way, the Steelers are going to be 7-3 by the end of this week, aren't they?
Yeah, probably.
How the heck is that possible?
I know.
Yeah, how? Sorry for raising my voice. How do they do this?
Their head coach, I guess.
You know what's funny? You know what's interesting? Table this for like a different time because we have to get back on the fantasy track. I have noticed a very different sort of feeling about Mike Tomlin as a coach
100%.
Between the national and in local fans. I think nationally he gets a ton of praise for keeping this team afloat. I'm starting to sense locally they're kind of sick of hearing that rhetoric. it's a ceiling versus a floor conversation. Mm-hmm. They've won like one playoff game in the last 9 years.
That's the pushback, yeah.
Right. Yep. And including, by the way, losses to the Browns with no head coach. Remember when Kevin Stefanski was out due to COVID?
Yep.
They had like all these players that were also unavailable. They lost that game. Remember the year in which Blake Bortles and the Jaguars smashed them in Pittsburgh with like 45 points? Like, it is not. So that's an aside, but the Steelers are probably going to be 7-4 by the end of the weekend.
Yeah, you're right.
7-3.
I think this is a good transition. I'm going to actually pivot us into the Steelers conversation because the Browns play the Steelers this week. Yeah. And we got some running backs to talk about here. Guys, I want to mention this, okay? I'm going to set the table here really quick for you. I think this is a conversation of pre-buy and post-buy stats. They are very interesting to me. Weeks 1-5, you got Jalen Warren, running back 27, averaging 10 fantasy points per game, and Najee Harris, running back 39. Averaging 6.7 fantasy points per game. That's weeks 1-5. Then they had their bye in week 6. We had a big conversation with them. Yeah. We said, we need you guys to tighten up a little bit. Then week 7-10, different conversation.
Yeah.
Najee Harris is running back 12, averaging 15.1 points per game. Field, even Jalen Warren has gone up. Running back 18, averaging 12.8. Field, you got two running backs, both trending in the right direction, both who are top 20 over the last month. Are they startable this week against a tough Browns defense? Well, both of them.
First of all, you're welcome, Steelers.
We did this.
We had a pep talk with your running backs.
Yes, we did.
Not face to face. They probably didn't even hear the pep talk, but we had that pep talk. So you guys are welcome for helping to catalyze your season. Yeah, they both are startable this week. The concern is pretty obvious, right? It's the Browns, right? Defense. This defense is just freaking gnarly, and the idea of facing them is very daunting. But because it's basically a 50-50 split for a team that is much more capable of running the football recently, much improved offensive line play, there's been a lot of talk from people that study this stuff closely. If you love offensive line play, I would suggest finding our friend Brandon Thorne. He's Brandon Thorne NFL. Yep. I'd put his analysis up against anybody's in the world on offensive line play. He's been highlighting guys across the Steelers offensive line that have been better of late. They're going to run the football a lot because they're not going to have to score a lot of points on Sunday, right? So I expect there's a reasonable expectation that Najee Harris could have 17 touches on Sunday and Jalen Warren could have 14 on Sunday. By the way, of late, not only have they both been more effective running the ball, but Najee's actually seen some passing game utilization. Yes, so the fact that Warren's the more explosive player is a bit offset by the fact that Najee's going to see more touches, Mike, and he might actually catch the football.
Yeah, you're right. We talked about this Monday. They're just kind of interchangeable in this offense at this point. They're both seeing targets, both seeing carries. I would say Warren's been more explosive. The one thing I will say is there's been some reports about Warren was told he's the starter now.
Saw that,
I don't think it really matters. I mean, their usage has been about identical. Harris isn't going to disappear. He's playing his best ball probably since 2021.
Yeah.
I mean, so I would say like 20.
Yeah. Harris probably since last season.
Yeah. So I think it'll just continue to be interchangeable, one in, one out, series after series. And
what do you think? Is that like, are they like hockey starters? Like, I love how in the NHL, it's of, like, like they'll pan through the open. It's like, you know, the Oilers who have the greatest player on earth in Connor McDavid. And then it's like, opening line is the fourth liners, like the grinders.
Yeah.
They're like, they want to get their feet wet a little bit. Yeah. They want to make those guys feel good early, you know, like,
And you see really that in the NFL, too. It's just the play they call to open the game, right? Yes. The packages, who's on the field, right?
Yeah, these two running backs have been fantastic. The idea that you've been able to use both of them after the way it worked out at the beginning of the season has been a boon for fantasy managers. I love having both of these guys usable. Tough matchup this week, but have both of them as potential starters.
Good for them, 11. Not good for the pass catchers.
Well, not as great for Deontay Johnson and George Pickens.
Need to get at least one of those guys going here. Pat Freiermuth could be back this week, too. Keep an eye on that.
Yeah. That'd be a big one.
Shefty did tweet this morning. He's expected back. This weekend.
So, I like that. Like
could
that.
Be expected back, intends to play. You name your phrase, but yes.
The way you want. Barney setback.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good one.
My favorite thing about Pat Freiermuth, by the way, and this applies to, I've got a few asides today, but bear with us, it's Wednesday, is when he catches a pass and Steelers fans just go, Heath. I mean, that probably is Muth, but like,
yeah, Heath. It sounds like Heath.
They all say, like, you know, like forever, like, because they've had several other like big tight ends, big white tight ends who have come through the, like, you know, it's like,
but they don't say Heath now, right?
Well, they still
say Muth, but
they've been saying
like
Heath
it.
Like for all those guys in the past, and in my mind, they're still saying
they're
Heath.
All the same thing,
right? Yeah, that's what was the guy, Zach something, they had for a while, they had Jesse James for a little bit, like, they just had,
oh, they had Jesse James for a minute, I
sure did, yeah. Yeah, gosh. I've been to a lot of Steelers games, believe it or not. Yeah, growing up.
Have you?
Yeah, traveled to. My dad still goes all the time. He's at a lot of the home games.
Is he a Steelers or an Eagles fan?
He's a Vikings fan, actually. But we do. I grew up doing bus trips. He was a Fran Tarkenton fan when he was a kid. Yeah. So
in the Viking, anytime you root for a team that's never won a Super Bowl, I'm like, I have nothing to say to you. Like you, like I cannot question your fandom.
Is that why you took the Vikings to win the NFC North this year?
That's why. Yeah.
That was why.
Still possible. But we're going
to
go possible.
Field, don't do
still
this possible. To me. All right. Let's talk about another running back here. Tony Pollard has been a total enigma this year. Want to lay a few things out. A couple things I don't love.
Okay.
Inefficiency. Last year, he averaged 5.2 yards per carry. This year, 3.9. I also don't love the touchdowns. He's only got 2 touchdowns this year, Mike Clay.
Where they scored, sir.
That is so frustrating. They've scored so many points this year.
Yeah, but he scored both of his touchdowns in week one.
Which is frustrating. Yeah. He's averaging 12.5 fantasy points per game. That's running back 22 on the season. Now, here are the things I do love, okay? Mm-hmm. I love the volume. 7th most in the NFL based on running backs, 164 touches. I love the passing game involvement. 10th amongst running backs in reception. So he's at least getting a little bit of work. And this week at least, Field, I love the matchup.
Yeah.
Panthers allow the 3rd most fantasy points to running back. So he is my running back 7. I still have him top 10 in spite of the fact that he has been a little disappointing lately. How are you approaching Tony Pollard and what is an awesome matchup against the Panthers?
Ooh, I've got him as running back 13, which is a full 6 spots lower than you, Daniel.
I'm at 9. I'm in the middle here.
Okay, so you're in the middle. This is shaping up for the bullpen season right now. This is me motivating Tony Pollard right
now. That's what it is.
You laid out all the stats right there. Mike laid out the stat yesterday. Was it 12 carries and 55 total yards in every game?
He's the only one in the NFL. Yep.
Okay. So we all know the numbers. This is not about the numbers with Tony Pollard. It's the fact that the efficiency has fallen off a cliff.
Yep.
And I know several people in the fantasy community, including our friend Denny Carter, the great Denny Carter from Roto World. He's hilarious on top of being very good at this job. Noted how his elusiveness has just also totally dropped off a cliff. Now, maybe some of the elusiveness is in part due to the types of runs that he is seeing, right? Like it's harder to make defenders miss between the tackles than when you're running on the perimeter, on tosses and things of that nature.
Yep.
But we have seen a much more Ezekiel Elliott version of Tony Pollard than we have a Tony Pollard version of Tony Pollard. I have him as RB13, in part begrudgingly, but the matchup is too good to ignore. And if the Cowboys are up 35-7 in the fourth quarter and Pollard has 2 touchdowns on Sunday, I'll be saying to myself, that checks out.
That's what it was supposed to be.
Yeah. You have to ride that. You have to ride him for one more week here. Now, if it doesn't happen on Sunday against the Panthers, I might not show up to work on Monday.
That's fair.
That seems excessive.
By the way, all of a sudden, all of our fans are like, all right, Panthers, let's go.
Shut down Tony Pollard.
Can we go sign, like, who's the best available run? Is Warren Sapp available for Sunday's game?
So good. You know?
Well, Liz Loza will be in town, so.
That's true.
Give me a day off here.
I'm actually out for a little while.
Yeah,
I'm out Friday and Monday, so enjoy me while you can here. People might be happy about that as well.
Wow.
I'm on.
One of our producers is asking whether they can drop the clap track right now.
I'm kidding. I'm on my bye week.
No. No, Mike, we're going to miss you dearly on both Friday and Monday. For once, though, we'll at least have a conversation that actually includes analytics and
numbers. It'll finally be
a good numbers-based combo.
Yeah. Do you have anything different you want to add on Tony Pollard? Do you feel basically the same way that Field and I do?
Same thing. I'm going to chase it. Great analysis.
Nailed it as usual.
Crushed it. We're going to chase the volume in the matchup another week. And again, he's just one of them guys. If you told me a month from now, over the last 4 weeks, Tony Pollard's the number 3 scoring fantasy running back with 6 touchdowns. We'd be like, yep, that makes sense.
That checks out. I can see that.
I have a question for you, Mike.
Yes.
In that same game, they're playing the Panthers, and we're going to talk about them in a few moments here. If Tony Pollard scores fewer fantasy points than Chuba Hubbard and Miles Sanders combined, will you shave your beard?
No. Why am I being put on the spot?
I don't know, because I know Daniel would never shave his beard.
I can't.
Daniel's waiting for James Harden to retire before he shaves his beard.
That's true.
So I just figured there was a better likelihood of you agreeing to it than Daniel.
No, not gonna do that.
Okay.
No. I don't have a good counter for this.
Well, that was sort of my way of highlighting, and I don't want to skip. We can talk about Brandon Cooks, but then we'll come back to the Panthers running backs. But that's a preview of how I feel about the Panthers running backs on Sunday.
It doesn't feel good, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk Brandon Cooks real quickly. We can get there. Mike, last 4 games have been really interesting with Dak Prescott. Right?
Okay.
Tells a very interesting story.
I've got Mike. I've thrown him off.
He doesn't even know what to do over here.
I'm having a 24 hours
here. If you didn't have that beard, you wouldn't have run into the microphone.
I want to crash into it. Yeah. I'm a little injured. I hurt my wrist, so I'm like,
I got a wrist guy on too right now.
We are old people. We are getting old. We are old. When are you going to go down?
We're going to talk about that in just a little bit. If we have more time at the end of the show, we can talk about how Mike got hurt.
No, we don't have to do that.
Yes, we can.
It's very embarrassing.
Let's talk about Brandon Cooks. Last four games, Dak Prescott has been amazing, and Brandon Cooks has been pretty good too. 15.8 fantasy points. That's wide receiver 16. But Mike, he's also wide receiver 57 in targets over that time frame. So how are you considering him against the Panthers in a 10 or 12 team league?
Yeah, most of his production came last week. I won't read through all the stats again, but in over half of his yards have come in one game this year. That makes me nervous. But he also has 14 plus fantasy points in three of his last four, under seven and all the rest. But he's at least trending up. They've been trying to get him going. They've kind of phased Michael Gallup out. So maybe Gallup going the other direction will get a more consistent role here for Brandon Cooks. The Panthers, we talked about, really good, are really poor against running backs, but they only allowed the fourth fewest to receivers because teams don't have to throw against them. That could be a problem here for a secondary receiver like Cook. So we have him ranked again, like as a maybe a flex option in 12 team leagues, but that said, I wouldn't go any further. But he's, you know, he was dropped in a lot of leagues. So if you want to put him on your bench and hope that he does continue with this consistent role going forward, he might be startable by Thanksgiving. Like that could be the case.
Only thing that I will add, I agree with everything that Mike just said, is there's a chance. I don't know if it's a great chance, but like remember coming into the season, like when they made the trade for Brandon Cooks, it was like, wow, the number two wide receiver in a Cowboys offense could be pretty fantasy relevant week in and week out. If the tide has turned and Cooks takes on that role going forward, then yes, there is definitely a chance that Cooks could be a weekly lineup fixture. So go grab him right now. I agree, though. I have him as wide receiver 37. So absent playing in like a three receiver league or a deeper league, he's going to be on my bench for this week.
Tough to get him into starting lineups. You mentioned the running backs for the Panthers field. Let's do the Lord's work. No one wants to talk about the Panthers running backs, but we need to for a second. Chuba Hubbard has been the dart that you've been throwing.
Yeah.
Do you want to continue to throw that dart against the Dallas Cowboys defense?
I don't. I was trying to think about what I would rather do than throw that dart against the Cowboys.
I was thinking, you know where
defense.
My brain went? Did you ever see the GIF? It's really old where the guy's standing next to the dartboard and someone throws a dart and it just hits him in the head and he's just standing there and he doesn't even know it.
And that's what it feels like. That's what it feels like.
That's it.
I mean, I might take that instead.
Yeah. Last four games for Chuba Hubbard. Three games. 40 carries for 109 yards. Zero
touchdowns. That's not good.
Mm-hmm. Miles Sanders had a game with -5 rushing yards recently.
That's also
another
not
with
good.
Zero. That was actually his zero rushing yard game was his second highest over the past three. Disaster. Mm-hmm. Complete disaster.
Yeah.
This game could be, again, this could be Cowboys Giants, I guess, 3.0 because they played for the second time last week. But with the way that Dallas is playing, the way that Carolina is playing, did you guys see they're talking about going back to Frank Reich as the play caller?
Yes.
So when you make a play calling change, you give the guy who's the new play caller two games, and then you're considering going back to it, that probably means that the system's just broken.
Yep.
Right? Yeah. So this game could be a bloodbath in the first half. I want no part of either Panthers running back. Hubbard, if he had to choose one, but I'm sorry that you have to choose Chuba Hubbard if you have to choose one.
Yeah, I agree. He would be the one because he's had 17 plus touches in three of his last four games, but he's been under 11 fantasy points in all but one game. Miles Sanders under 12 fantasy points in all but one game. There's just been nothing out of this backfield. And by the way, the gap closed last week. It was a 27-23 snap edge for Hubbard. So Sanders started to come on a little bit in the second half of the game. So I'm with you. Avoid this if you can, if you have to pick one as a flex. Team's on a bye this week. Maybe you need one. Yep. It would be Chuba Hubbard.
Yep. You know, if there is one position that is impacted by byes this week, it would be the running back spot. Quarterback, wide receiver, tight end, not as much, but running back, you got some decent running backs on bye this week.
So Alvin Kamara, amongst others. Ramondre Stevenson.
Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah. And Bijan.
And Bijan, that's right.
Who's the top scorer of that group this year? Zach Moss?
Stop it.
Probably.
He might be first.
Kamara's come on like a freight train, so it might be Kamara.
Suspension,
All right, we got a few more updates for our rankings in just a little bit, but Field and I are going to pay some bills. Field, did you know the Traeger is awesome? Can I tell you why?
Oh, it is.
At the Home Depot, Saturdays are about two things, in case you guys weren't aware of this. It's making your watch party favorites on your Traeger Ironwood XL Grill and Smoker, and football, obviously. You can serve up wood-fired flavor every time with consistent cooking, and the intuitive touchscreen makes it easy to control the temperature, which stays steady. So you can keep your mind on the score and not on the temperature. Dude, that is such a huge thing if you are cooking on a grill while you're trying to watch football, not having to worry about if your grill is the right temperature or not. And trust me, when your favorite team is out there, that will come in super clutch. Traeger is all about versatile cooking. You can grill, smoke, roast, or bake, which means you can even grill some burgers, smoke a pork butt, roast some veggies, even bake a pie. Mike, you did hear that right. Desserts can be done on the Traeger. With Wi-Fi technology, you can be in the kitchen preparing some sides or on the couch watching the game while everything is cooking for your game day party by controlling your Traeger from anywhere with the easy-to-use app. And when you're done cooking everything from that game, cleanup is easy thanks to the accessible Easy Clean grease and ash keg. Excuse me. So don't wait. Upgrade your Saturday with a Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Are you overwhelmed by insurance?
Always. Yeah.
Make it easy. Get all your insurance in one place with Geico. Plus, get 24/7 claim support and on-the-go policy access with the award-winning Geico mobile app. See how easy insurance can be and go to geico.com.
Hey, quick note here. Some reports filing in. Dorian Thompson-Robinson is the favorite to start this week, so we'll have to keep an eye on that. So it's starting to swirl in a little bit.
Shout out to Jake Trotter. Does an awesome job covering the Browns for us. And as I was getting ready to leave the house this morning, I saw him say something to the effect of, hey, the Browns are considering bringing a third quarterback in. Don't be surprised if DTR gets a shot. That's not a good thing for the Browns, though, guys.
I don't think so.
I mean, gosh, like, he looked so overwhelmed in his first start. Now, they played the Ravens, but it's not like it gets a whole lot easier, right? You play games in that division, you automatically play a good defense. Yeah. So, yikes.
Yeah, and it's not, I mean, it's not like it was better with P.J. Walker. It was
No.
If you were to line up all the quarterbacks that have appeared in 3-plus games this year, he's probably dead last in efficiency this year. He struggled. So not surprised they're going to take another look at the rookie. He was impressive in the preseason, but this is does not have a good look for this offense. I'm concerned. I'm definitely concerned for my Amari Coopers and David Njoku's.
Doesn't feel great. You know another thing that doesn't feel good? Packers wide receivers.
All right, why? Every
you
show.
You can leave.
Here's the thing.
Mike's off on Friday and Monday. We couldn't keep this until Friday and Monday in our chat.
Come on. If Packers wide receivers were an emo song right now, they would be Misery Business by Paramore.
That's a good song, though.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
I also think I was thinking about maybe Field. I don't know how much emo.
I know Paramore.
Knowledge. You know Paramore?
I believe Paramore, if I'm not mistaken, is going on tour with Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
When she goes internationally.
That is
so I know. Into You, I think, was one of their songs, right?
Yes, I'm still into you. But look at you, Field Jace, knowing a little Paramore. I love this.
These days, I know, like, basically, like, the theme song to Cocomelon and a couple of jingles from Miss Rachel. So the fact that I could pull that, actually, is that's even impressive to me.
The other emo song that made me think of this was, and it's a little bit deeper for all my old emo kids out there, it's called The Places You Have Come to Fear the Most by Dashboard Confessional, because I think the place
that's
I have come to
I
fear the most is when I'm in a spot I've got to start one of these Packers on Sunday. Ooh. I don't feel good about it. Yeah. Mike Clay, you got Christian Watson, you got Romeo Doubs. They're taking on the Chargers this week. Are you finally out on Christian Watson, or are we still holding on to hope that there is something that can be done with this skilled wide receiver?
36 in my ranking, so still on the flex radar.
Okay. Me,
and they're playing the Chargers. They should have to throw it plenty in this game. But look, he's been under 7 fantasy points in 4 straight. Did lead them in targets last week. There's that. There's something to be said for that. But not feeling super confident about that connection. And then, you know, it goes right down the list. I don't feel better about the other receivers either, because even Romeo Doubs, a touchdown in 3 of his last 5 games. That's good, right?
Yes.
Still under 40 yards and 12 and a half fantasy points in all of those games, even when he has scored touchdowns. So you're not getting anything else out of him. And then Jaden Reed's coming off the big game, 84 yards and a touchdown, only had 5 targets, 6 or fewer targets in 6 straight games. He's only cleared 12 and a half points twice this season.
Yeah.
So none of these guys are good investments right now. I would avoid if possible.
Look at that. But you know what that reminds me of? Do you ever watch Survivor?
Oh, yeah.
You know, every once in a while, they'll send someone to an exile island, right?
Oh, yeah.
And that person's by themselves on this tiny remote island. That's Mike right now on Christian Watson Island.
I'm trying so hard.
We're just holding trying to make it happen.
Are you lower than me? I didn't even see the ranks. Are you?
No,
are
I'm just saying, like, you know,
you don't need to look at the ranks.
I think I have him as wide receiver 37.
You're 3 spots ahead of me.
39.
You're 3 spots behind me.
Yeah. So I'm just saying.
The same thing.
You know, but like, what I'm saying, Mike, is this. You have not entirely given up hope. Even in a week in which you had him as wide receiver 36, you're able to find a couple of positive indicators. There's going to be a moment here, Mike, and you're going to be laughing from that remote island all by yourselves. All by yourself. You'd be saying, I never lost faith. I never lost faith. You own stock on Christian Watson Island.
You're the one that just got that on tape, though, that you can roll back.
Yeah,
I never lost faith.
Let's clip that. Let's clip that for a few, please.
Yeah. I got to start doing that more often.
You just did that.
That's such a good idea.
Yeah, I wouldn't say as much confidence as I had in, like, Joe Burrow, like, the beginning of the season, like, those sort of, I'm not feeling it. And it's not his fault, necessarily. It's just Jordan Love is all over the map. Sometimes he makes throws that look great. But if, I feel like when he throws to Watson, it's like never catchable.
It's
like,
never. It's
just,
yes.
And it's not always his fault, but it is oftentimes.
It feels like Christian Watson is just one of many wide receivers that are impacted by quarterback play this year. And he, unfortunately, because of Jordan Love and with where they are at, I feel like he's been impacted a little bit more than most.
Yeah, I mean, I thought coming into the year, I thought even if Love was below average, just like Watson's early second round pick had a good finish to the season, he was going to be a feature target, huge target share, like worst case year, and he had like DeAndre Hopkins sort of production like this year.
Yeah.
A little boom bust, but tons of targets. That hasn't happened either.
That has not
happened. The other thing that happens in this portion of the rankings, by the way, is you've gotten to the point where it's like, all right, Christian Watson vis-a-vis, this might be a bad example. He's also on a bye this week. Him versus like Josh Downs. And you're saying to yourself, like, if one of these two players is going to find the end zone twice, it's probably Christian Watson. If one of these players is going to have seven catches for 72 yards, it's probably Josh Downs. Mm-hmm. Which do you prefer? Like Pop Douglas, Josh Downs, guys like that, where like the upside for touchdowns is pretty low, but the upside for catches is definitely higher than Watson in a given week. So some of it might be just like, who do you want to bet on during a given week?
Yeah, and I would just add, too, remember that there are four teams on a bye. So we have them 36th to 39th. I mean, you add in those six teams back, or those four teams back, you'd be like mid-40s and not startable. So a part of it is just the bye weeks.
I'll tell you what, and this might just be the emotional side of me. Sometimes you guys know I do that with fantasy players. Here are the guys that are ranked around Christian Watson in our rankings. Rashee Rice, right? Like there's been a little bit of like uptick with him as far as
playing
Patrick
Eagles,
Mahomes,
good matchup.
Right? Yeah. You got Jerry Jeudy, not really feeling that. Gabe Davis, another one of those guys that's been up and down. You got Brandon Cooks right behind him. You have George Pickens, who has been all over the place. Oof. You get to a point where you're just like, I don't really feel good about any of those guys.
That's a tier of very similar guys that could have terrible days or you know, maybe finds the end zone.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, lottery ticket area.
Yep. You guys ready for something interesting that just came across my War Room League roster?
Oh, interesting. Let's hear it.
We can vet this one out on the show and just, I'm not going to make a decision one way or the other, but kind of interesting. 16-team league is the War Room and you play two receivers, two running backs, two flexes. So that second flex spot can get pretty tricky very often.
But only one quarterback.
Only one quarterback, yep. Okay. We have this crazy league where there's like 9 or 10 of the 16 teams that are between 6-4 and 5-5. It's wild.
Wow. Okay.
So I'm part of that that 6-4-5. I'm 5-5.
Right,
logjam, yes. But Adam Schefter, the great Adam Schefter, just proposed a trade to me. His Jerome Ford and Jahan Dotson for my Michael Pittman Jr.
What's your running back situation look like?
My running back situation is Rashad White and Brian Robinson, the only two on my roster right now.
I think White's already Pittman.
Okay, that was a decisive answer there from
Mike. Yeah, I mean, I just think you need, I think you need to keep Pittman. I think that Ford has a limited ceiling.
Okay.
You know, I think he'll be fine.
Yeah.
But he's kind of in the category of the two guys you have, right? Yep. Robinson and White. So I don't think he's really giving you a big boost at running back.
Okay.
And then receiver, I mean, Dotson, he does not perform when Curtis Samuel is on the field.
It's crazy, right?
In high volume. I mean, maybe he'll have a huge second half of the season, but I don't think he's going to match Pittman, and I don't think Ford really moves the needle enough for your team.
So we'll see. Watch this segment before sending you that trade? Because we just talked about Jerome
Ford.
It's
possible. We have to, like, you know, you have to get through bye weeks and you have to get to the playoffs. But if we do make it in and our team stays healthy, our roster will be Patrick Mahomes, Rashad White, Brian Robinson. Cooper Pittman. Kupp, Devontae Adams, Michael Pittman, and Josh Downs in our two flex spots.
That's really good for a 16-team league. That's great.
Yeah,
that sounds great.
You know something, Mike? I told you guys, I'm not letting the emotions get to me anymore after getting really emotional on Sunday and Monday. But you know something? I do believe in our team. I believe.
You should.
You know what? Clip this off. I love our team. Do not let us get in your way in the playoffs. You do not want to see us in the playoffs. That's all I'm saying.
Avoid.
Yeah, that's
sometimes
a team to avoid.
Sometimes that's how fantasy goes. You just have some bad luck. You're hanging around 500, but you're like, you know what? Team's coming around, getting healthier. Yeah. It's a good group on paper. Here we
go. So I don't know who does the projections at ESPN, but they favor us to make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. However, I'm not surprised with that team in a 16-teamer.
Yeah, I know. It's wild times.
That sounds great.
Yeah. So now this would help us probably to, you know, sort of navigate some of these upcoming bye weeks that are still ahead of us, right? Devontae's got a bye, and the two Colts obviously are on a bye this week, so we're sort of piecing it together at flex in a different way.
Yeah, but the only advice I might give is check the Colts. I don't have it in front of me, the Colts wide receiver playoff schedule, because you got two.
Yeah, that's true.
You got two of them. Yeah, might want to diversify.
That's a good point. We were just talking. I don't know. I just felt like bringing that up, but what the heck?
That'll be a tough one, Field, because you're at a spot. It's not just you. We're all going to be in spots, and the people that are listening, where we're making playoff pushes. We're getting close to that point where people are starting to try to make their final little playoff push. Mm-hmm. You got some trades going on. You got to make sure you hit waivers hard. You got a good roster heading into it. One of those questions I have.
Ooh, actually, the Colts playoffs.
Bring it.
Steelers, Falcons, Raiders.
Steelers, Falcons, Raiders. They've all been, two of them. And Raiders have been good against receivers. Better than expected.
Falcons have been pretty okay.
What was the first one?
Steelers.
So Joey Porter might shadow Pittman in that game, which could open it up for downs.
Yeah.
And then the other one was, I forget already.
Raiders, Steelers, someone else. Here, let me ask you this question. Over the last 2 weeks, Quentin Johnston has the edge over Jalen Guyton in snaps and routes. Both guys have found the end zone, Mike Clay. But one of the guys, without understanding, no Josh Palmer, no Mike Williams, right? Mm. There's only Keenan Allen there. One of those guys is a first-round pick with high expectations. The other guy is Jalen Guyton. So how are you approaching these two wide receivers this week? Because who's the second wide receiver in this Chargers team that you want to consider?
Yeah, I have them 54th and 60th.
Flipping a coin.
Flip a coin.
And here's the thing. Last week we talked about Johnston, and I said, you know what?
Johnston.
There's a T.
I thought you said Johnson.
Yeah.
All right. No, I think I got the. I think it was just a little.
It was a soft T.
I put the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable. Is what I did there. But anyway.
So. How's your thesaurus doing?
Still terrible? It's still terrible. It's also terrible. So last week I said, look, if Guyton's pushing him for playing time and targets, that's going to be the problem for Johnston. And that's what happened last week. Yeah. Guyton had 6 targets, only 4 for Johnston, who hasn't looked great so far. So I'm concerned. I think, though, Guyton, if he locks down that 2 job, could be something there. So not the worst guy to add to your bench, just considering how little they have in terms of skill guys right now at the wide receiver position. So I'm keeping an eye on that. Johnston did play 84% of the snaps each of the last 2 games. Yeah. Guyton was at 78% last week. He still has a slight edge here in my rankings, but I would avoid both guys, at least in my starting lineup this week.
That is my feeling as well.
Yep.
My note on them, which I forgot to print again today, was to grab a coin, put Johnston on one side, and then Guyton on the other side, flip it, and that's which one you should start.
That's it. Yeah. I wish I had. If I had a coin in my pocket, Field, I would flip it for you.
My daughter found this in one of my old bags from when I was a kid. The Two-Face coin. I have one of those.
Do you?
Really?
Yeah. It came with like an action figure when I was a kid. It has like just a regular coin. The other side, it's all scratched out.
Do it. All right. Let's talk about a few more things here. Justin Fields, guys. We're supposed to potentially get Justin Fields back here in week 11.
Yeah, let's go.
Taking on the 7-2 Detroit Lions in Ford Field. Field, here's my first question to
you. I like the pride you said.
Yeah, well, of course.
7-2 Detroit Lions.
You know that how many teams are 7-2 so far this year?
2.
I'm going to go with the Chiefs, the Lions. The Eagles are 8-1, so I guess only 2 are 7-2.
Only 2 are 7-2. So the only teams that are 7-2 or better are the 2 teams that played in the Super Bowl last year and my Detroit Lions.
Correct, yes.
That's pretty exciting for us as Lions fans. I'm going to say that. But you get Justin Fields this week. We have not seen Justin Fields on the field in a little bit. Yates, first question, because I think there's a couple layers here. If Justin Fields plays, we're expecting him to play.
Yep.
How are you going to rank him against this Lions team? And then we'll talk about what his impact is on the rest of the offense.
I've got him as quarterback 15, and he feels like one of the mysteries in fantasy this year because the rushing production has not been as good as last year, but it also hasn't totally gone by the wayside. We've seen the peak of Justin Fields once again this year is a top 5 fantasy quarterback. The problem is the peak has come so infrequently. So I don't know how you can say with absolute confidence that you know what you're getting out of Justin Fields in any given week, especially against a Lions defense that I do think is formidable. They had their hands full with the Chargers this past week. Mm-hmm. A lot of teams are going to have their hands full with the Chargers in a given week, especially when Justin Herbert goes nuclear like he did this past Sunday. But I feel like this is a neutral matchup for Justin Fields. It's not that that's dissuading me from starting him. It's that I just don't know what I'm going to get. I don't know how you can possibly feel confident, even if you have metrics to support one side of the argument or other, Mike.
Yeah,
and I don't know much because it's been one or the other. The splits are wild. He came out the first three games was poor in fantasy, poorly productive. Then he caught Denver, and I believe it was the Raiders was the second game, back-to-back top five finishes.
Four and five, yeah.
Yeah, and then he had two huge games. Was, again, top five scorer, quarterback, both of those weeks. So which Fields are we going to get?
With his arm, not with his legs. Like when he had, it's because he had 300 yards and four touchdowns.
He had a little bit with his legs there, but yeah, not quite as
but
much
not
as
the
we
same
expected.
That we had
I mean,
expected.
Look, if he's going to do some with his legs and be better than ever with his arm like he was those last two games, we'll take that. That's what we saw in the preseason as well. So cautious optimism here. I'm at QB 12.
Yeah.
Not a must start, but I'm
if he's
the worst thing.
If he's one of your two considerations and the other person is close, keep in mind what he's dealing with right now. A dislocated thumb. Now, he's going to be good enough to play, but are you concerned at all about the thumb impacting his accuracy, his ability to stay on the field? If those things are bothering you, break the tie that way between Justin Fields and I don't know who your second quarterback is, Brock Purdy, and go that direction instead.
Sure. Which makes a ton of sense to me. We'll keep monitoring this, see if we get any updates on how his thumb is feeling throughout the week. Mike, I asked Field though, or I asked you guys about this specifically. Yep. Okay, so we got Justin Field as a potential starter, a streamer if you need him, maybe. How are you looking at DJ Moore and Cole Kmet? They're really the only two pass catchers in this game that I would consider from the Bears.
Yeah, Moore's production was much better with Field, so I think I feel better about him.
Is this Tyson Bagent is the backup Browns quarterback and DJ Moore getting this boost of Justin Fields as like Amari Cooper having Sean Watson?
Swapping Cooper and Moore in our rank, something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Okay. I was, you know, we had this conversation when we thought Fields was returning last week.
Same
kind of thing. I just think Moore will be better and more productive with a better quarterback under center. It's really that simple. So, yeah, I think Moore, despite the slump, remember, came without Fields, is a guy you put in your lineup. And Kmet, I still have like 10 and 12. Like he's been up and down, but he's a fringe starter as well.
I realize they're right next to each other, and we don't always love to do this, but you've got Cole Kmet getting Justin Fields back, and you now have David Njoku, who is going to switch over to potentially, like those two guys are going to be right next to each other.
Yeah.
They're fringe tight end ones, high end tight end twos. I think they're both going to be difficult to kind of figure out with what's going on here. All right, Field.
Yeah.
Where are we ranking the Lions running backs in week 11?
Well, I've got Jahmyr Gibbs as running back 5. David Montgomery is running back 17.
Okay. I'll take that.
So let's talk about all the good things they have going for them. They're both awesome.
Yes.
Both very talented in different ways. That's a great starting point, right?
Yep.
Gibbs actually had more rushing attempts than David Montgomery last week. Gibbs also is a far superior pass catcher and actually gets targets as well.
Yep.
I think Montgomery's rushing volume will be better than Jahmyr Gibbs this week because I think this is a game that the Lions will ground control. But in order to play ground control football, you got to get a lead. And who has allowed the most receiving touchdowns to opposing running backs this season?
The Dallas Cowboys.
Incorrect.
Chicago Bears.
Chicago Bears with 5.
If you guess Chicago, everyone knows it's going to be. I had to guess something different, Mike.
All right, well, that's why I'm here. So I look smart. So took advantage of the situation.
Yeah, that's right. If you're looking for a team that even with like two significant investments in linebackers this past offseason in both TJ Edwards and also Tremaine Edmonds, and Edwards has been really good. Edmonds has been solid, but has been banged up of late.
Did they draft a linebacker too? What am I making
the Bears
up?
Did not draft a linebacker. No. But you know, that's one of those things that could be fluky as well, but the fact that they've allowed 5 receiving touchdowns to opposing running backs so far, only one more log in the fire of Jahmyr Gibbs, so both guys should be started this week, Mike.
I'm with you, and if Gibbs does out-carry Montgomery again this week, then we're gonna, it might be top 3 every week for Jahmyr Gibbs because he's finished as a top 3 running back in 3 consecutive weeks. But again, I think maybe it makes sense, like that Montgomery would be somewhat limited in his first game back, and then they'll ramp up his, you know, his carries in this game. So we'll see. I think there's going to be some element of a hot hand and game script that goes into this, but I think it's pretty simple. If you have these two guys on your team, you're starting both of these guys. Yeah.
I think you had the tweet, Field, where it was like you were asked, do I start Jahmyr Gibbs or David Montgomery? The answer is yes.
Yes.
Start both of them.
Which of them?
Yes.
Yes.
I had both inside my top 20. Turns out I'm brilliant last week. So that was pretty fantastic.
That's good. Yeah. That was a board bet.
All or no?
Board bet.
No.
No, I think that was a board bet, right?
Yeah. You guys were just outside the top 20. I said both would finish top 20.
Oh, wow. Well, you are brilliant, so that checks out.
Thanks, Field.
Nailed it.
I want to give this a quick shout out to, we're not talking about this player. Doesn't have a lot of fantasy relevance right now. Jameson Williams, though. on that 75-yard touchdown run for David Montgomery. Yeah. The dude is doing so many things that is not catching the football, getting downfield to block, using his speed, doing stuff that his teammates love. I just want to give a shout-out to J-Mo because he's not really doing a whole lot for me to talk about him in fantasy football right now.
What would be the opposite of a shout-out? A call-out?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you're calling someone out.
Okay, because
yeah.
I want to call Jameson Williams out for something else right now.
Tell me.
Jameson Williams posted a photo on his Instagram of a trip to McDonald's. Nothing wrong with that. Trust me, I love myself a Big Mac.
20 piece? Was that a
20 piece as well?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He had a burger. It looked like just a regular, maybe even a quarter pounder, and he put his McFlurry on top of it.
No.
What?
No.
Like instead of a dollop of mayonnaise, it was like a dollop of an Oreo McFlurry in the middle of the burger.
That would not end well for me for a lot of reasons.
Yes. But like, I've thought about dropping it from my fantasy roster for that reason.
That feels like you...
I mean, not actually.
See,
but.
Like, there's a difference here because we've all done the thing, and I'm going to throw it out there. We've all done the thing where we dip our French fries into a Frosty,
of
right?
Of course, that's an American different. Tradition. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, you got to do... That's like a rite of passage into, like, teenagehood. Did you just say maybe not? Yeah, what?
Did you try it?
Mike Clay?
That's not for me. I try to avoid ice cream for the most part. I've been on the record about this. I'm not a big ice cream guy. One,
hold on
maybe
now.
Once a year. All right. I pivot to Greek yogurt and granola.
That's Greek yogurt and granola?
It's so good. That is way better than ice cream. I'm sorry. That's one of my, that's my cancelable food take.
That is absolutely cancelable. Hey, I'm Mike Clay and I pivot from ice cream to granola and Greek yogurt.
Yes.
Hey, I'm Mike Clay. I pivot from going to Hawaii to instead visit the sauna at my local Y. It's hot there too. Are you kidding me?
That's
no,
unreal.
I'm not kidding you. I prefer that for sure. Also, I think
you prefer a sauna to Hawaii.
I think dairy upsets my tummy a little bit. Okay, guys? That's what my daughter say. Casey's like fully. She's like, no. I'm like, yeah, I'm with you.
I'm with you. Kid.
She hates ice cream.
She
as
does
well?
Not get. We'll go to McDonald's or somewhere and get some ice cream.
Happy
or
meals.
Zoe wants ice cream, and she's like, I can't have ice cream.
But the problem is, I can't say a thing about Casey or Zoe. They're just so dang cute. They're just little angels.
You get an apple turnover instead of an ice cream. Like, what do you even get if you're not? Well, I guess they don't sell Greek yogurt and granola at McDonald's, Mike. So
no, they don't. They don't. But yeah, I have that at home. But I don't know. That's my take.
Wow.
I love vanilla Greek yogurt with granola. It's like one of my favorite snacks.
Sure. I like them too. I like that as well.
Yeah. It's just.
But I don't like it nearly as much as I like cookie dough ice cream.
It's not a replacement for cookie dough.
Yeah, I disagree.
I feel bad now because like my daughter, I only have one daughter that can actually eat food at this age of her life. The girl crushes ice cream. Like, am I terrible? I probably am a bad father.
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
No.
Yeah. I wouldn't assume.
It's just a preference thing. I don't know. I prefer it. That's one of my takes.
My favorite thing
I've
is
I tweeted
seeing...
that one time and it did not end well.
It did not
really?
Like, this is the general consensus
I'm
reaction.
Dig that. I'm going to find that
you guys are the general public and how they responded.
That's how most people
responded.
That's amazing.
My favorite part about seeing little kids with either chocolate or ice cream is when they get it for the first time and you get them on video and then all of a sudden their eyes get big and they like just go to reach for it and they're I want all of that. Like, that's my fun way to live vicariously through children.
My daughter has been my older daughter has been very in on ice cream recently. And she also, I think maybe in part because of what ice cream does to her, has a new thing. And I think I may have mentioned this on the show recently, but I may have just said it to you guys behind closed doors. She announces when she does a diaper accident.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's so good.
I poop. Okay. Good to know.
Thanks for the update.
We'll go take care of that right now, honey.
By the way, forewarning, speaking of things kids say, my daughter Casey, who's in fourth grade, is starting to pick up some of the terminology that kids use. So might have to utilize that. Like, like she'll say like, yes, queen, slay. So I'm going to start doing that. Okay. Or like when I injured my wrist, I yeeted, right? I got yeeted.
Oh, you yeeted. Of course you got yeeted.
So just get ready. It's going to start.
It's my favorite episode ever. Can we keep both of those things in the hamper?
Until I work them in.
Oh, my God. Mike is going to be ditching dad jokes on fantasy football now.
Do this. That's
Matthew
amazing.
Stafford like, yeeted last week against the Packers.
Slay.
He's going to slay all day against the
That's
Seahawks.
The future. That's the future now. So get ready.
Oh, man.
All right. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about, you think Brock Purdy has a chance to slay this week as a streamer, Mike Clay?
He does. I'm
taking QB on the Bucks.
QB 10, yeah. I'm with you. He's 11th points per game this season. Bounced back last week. He was in that slump, one passing touchdown, three straight games. Had 23.8 points last week. That was his second highest total of the season. Now has four games with 20-plus points this season. Six in nine games. He has six top 12 finishes. not a ton of upside, but he's just kind of hung around as a fringe QB1 slash streamer, number one in YP, and adding a little bit with his legs, more than we thought. This isn't saying a lot, but 107 yards and 2 touchdowns on the ground. We thought we might get like 20 yards and 0 touchdowns. So yeah, at least there's a little bit there. The Bucs, by the way, second most passing yards quarterbacks this season. So a good matchup here for Purdy as well. I think he will slay.
Think this all week day against the Bucs. I mean, the Bucs just did really well against Will Levis. I mean, mind you, it's Will Levis holding him under 200 passing yards, but
they've allowed the second most passing yards this season. The Bucs.
That's
have.
So weird. I just said that. So Field was on his phone.
I was actually too busy looking up what yeet means. So
yeet it. I don't think Brock Purdy will yeet.
Okay.
Not this week.
Yeah.
Field, anything you want to add on Brock Purdy? Because we're going to close this one out and do a little bit of start bench cut. No, after
you
this.
Know something? I'm hearing that we're having stream issues, so maybe we should just close the show right now and not do start bench cut.
The viewership went down to zero when I said, Yaz Queen.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly. All right, let's talk about this. This will be fun, I think. I really do think this will be fun.
Okay.
Start bench cut.
Yep.
Our producers put it together for us. I'm going to start with the running backs. We got 3 running backs we had to choose from. Gus Edwards, Joe Mixon, and Breece Hall. This one I think is the easiest of the 3.
I would agree. Yes.
If you are starting with the running backs, Gus
receivers
Edwards.
Are on the screen, but there we go. Sorry. Here we go.
Yep. Gus Edwards, Joe Mixon, Breece Hall. Who are you starting? Who are you benching? Who are you cutting?
Okay. This I am going easy. To. You think it's easy?
I think it's the easiest easy. Of the
I think
three.
The cut is easy. The easy part. Yeah, Gus Edwards has been cut. Sorry, Gus. We love you, but the fact that you have 6 rushing touchdowns over the past 3 games has totally inflated your stats.
Agreed.
I think there's a healthy debate between starting and cutting Breece Hall versus Joe Mixon. I guess it sort of depends on what you want, but I will go with Joe Mixon as my starter.
Interesting.
And it's going to be kind of riding the more consistent wave because with Breece Hall, touchdowns are just harder to come by.
They
Not
are.
That Joe Mixon has been lighting the world on fire in that regard. But
I thought Breece Hall was the only one scoring touchdowns for the Jets field. You've told me this.
Well, he is, but he has scored 3 in his only past 3. 5 okay. games, which yeah. is a good number, yeah. no doubt, right? It's not like it's a terrible number yeah. by any stretch, but one of those was when Jordan Davis carried him into the end
into
zone.
The
he's
end
like,
zone.
Here, let me, come on, buddy. We got to get the ball back to Jalen real
I'll
quick.
I'll let Jordan Davis carry me anywhere for what it's worth.
He probably could carry all 3
all
of us
three
with
of us
one
at
arm.
The same
no
time.
Question yes. about
but I will go with Joe Mixon as my starter between the blend of rushing consistency, even with poor efficiency, mm-hmm. target consistency, and the chance for goal line work. Those would be my 3 criteria that gives him the very narrow start edge over Breece Hall.
Interesting. I would go Hall for sure. And okay. by the way, Hall, who was very limited the first month of the season,
yeah.
is actually averaging more fantasy points per game than Joe Mixon this season.
That? There you go. Yeah.
And Mixon has had a major workload in that backfield, but they have scaled him back a little bit. They said they were going to. They followed through the last 3 weeks, so... still playing a ton, right? You feel solid. You feel good starting him. He's a solid RB2. I just prefer Hall, who's out playing him. He's been more efficient. Mixon's efficiency yes. is a career low in most departments.
Right.
Not
it's
great.
Poor. It's been poor for a few years too. Yeah. I guess like I think with Breece Hall, the only thing that I would say is that he's very prone to big plays, but he's also kind of needed big plays to get to where he is Fair. On a points per game basis.
Yep. Yeah. But the playing time is there now over the past 3-4 weeks. So
Michael
good,
Carter perhaps. Now waived as well.
Yeah, which maybe which the garbage like, time. How about that the other week? By the way, I needed like 0.03 points from Breece Hall, and Michael Carter caught 6 consecutive passes in garbage time for the Jets. That was a killer.
Gosh.
That one hurt.
Yeah, why do we do this to ourselves?
I don't know why.
I don't know.
I don't know why. I think I would also default to Breece Hall for what it's worth. It was close. Joe Mixon is right there, but I would.
This segment's evil.
This part is, it's tough. It's
yeah.
tough here.
Yeah.
But we're all on the same page. Gus Edwards for sure is the guy that we would cut.
The wide
there.
Receiver one, I'm just abstaining from.
I'm saving it to last. That's why I started. Yeah. That's why I saved it for last. Okay. I think it's the hardest one. Let's talk about tight ends now.
Okay.
Start bench cut. You got 3
this
guys.
This hard too.
This one is very hard.
Dalton Kincaid.
Yeah.
Trey McBride
mm-hmm.
and Dalton Schultz. All 3 of them have been really good recently, Mike Clay. If you had to start this one, where are you going?
Yeah, I think I feel best about Dalton Kincaid sustaining going forward because he's established himself as the number 2 target in this offense. He has the trust of Josh Allen. They're going to be throwing the ball a ton. They've had major injuries defensively. I think they've been really unlucky offensively, frankly. I think they've been, you look at the efficiency metrics,
yeah,
and they're great offensively for them. So I think Kincaid has established himself going forward. He would be my top guy here. Plays the Jets this week. Maybe we downgrade him a little bit, but I would start him. The bench, I would say Trey McBride, actually, but Dalton Schultz has been terrific as well. I think the reason I would go cut on Schultz is some point, maybe this week, they're going to have 4 healthy wide receivers.
Right.
They have to get the ball in the hands of all these guys.
Yep.
That can knock his target share down a little bit. But again, we are grasping for straws to separate these guys. They're both in the weekly tight end one mix.
Yeah, I was considering Dalton for start. I was also considering Stalton for bench and Dalton for cut as well.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
I figured Dalton would be the reasonable candidate in each of these categories.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was my take
that
on
one's
that.
That's tough.
Yeah. I only agree. I only know for sure that I would start Dalton Kincaid.
This might be a more interesting exercise if we did like bottom of the barrel guys. Like, we're just like,
would you rather
like
start
Daryl Hodge
Jr.? Oh, okay.
No, like, who would you have hoped for? Jameson Williams, Kadarryl Hodge, and like.
At least Kadarryl Hodge is getting goal line work. So I can be excited about that part. So,
yeah, or Bijan Robinson. That's the right.
Final answer for me will be start Dalton Kincaid. Bench Dalton Schultz, cut Trey McBride, because on his current pace, he will not have another 100-yard receiving game until 2057.
Stop.
The Cardinals, it's been 34 years.
So then now they got to go another 34 years until
before
it comes
a tight
back.
End catches at least 100 yards in a game. Yeah,
he's had 220-plus fantasy point games on his last three.
Oh, he's been awesome.
He's been great.
Yeah, the hilarious part is that he came 5 yards short of 100 yards just three games ago. And now it's like, oh, he got to 100. And that's like a totally different outlook compared to that 95
yard
game.
I think about that all the time because as someone who works in decimals and everything you have to separate guys, like 100 is just a pretty round number. We all like, it doesn't matter. It means nothing.
Yeah, totally. Yep.
All right. So now we've got, and for what it's worth, I'm going to say starting Dalton Kincaid, benching Trey McBride and cutting Dalton Schultz. So I'm with Mike on that.
There we go.
Yeah.
Wide receivers. We didn't want to do this one. Here's what they gave us.
This one's so hard.
Amon-Ra St. Brown, Tyreek Hill, and A.J. Brown.
All right, so it's pretty obvious you're starting Tyreek, right? I mean, just like the season-long consistency has been out of control.
Yep.
So I think the conversation between A.J. Brown and Amon-Ra comes down to this. Who has the better chance of unique upside? And I think when you look at the number of 20-point games this season, that's kind of we were just talking about how you have to find these sort of like arbitrary data points that you're going to delineate between.
Yep.
That's why I land on A.J. Brown. He's a better bet for 20-plus fantasy points in the game than Amon-Ra St. Brown is.
I agree. That would be my order. We're ranking them right in order from their points per game, which is Tyreek's first, A.J. Brown's third, and Amon-Ra is sixth, but he's been tremendous. The floor... I'd almost feel a little better about the higher floor of St. Brown going forward this year than A.J. Brown, but the ceiling for A.J. Brown is enormous, like historic, literally historic over the past month or so.
I would take Amon-Ra St. Brown over A.J. Brown.
That's so weird.
I'm stunned by that.
Yeah. Wow.
That's so weird. Do you guys think that rest of the season, Amon-Ra St. Brown is going to score more fantasy points than A.J. Brown?
I wouldn't be shocked
by that. I'll go with A.J. Brown.
Would you?
Yeah, you want to board bet it?
Yeah, why not?
I'll let you
do it. Is that what you're going to? Yeah, why not? It's fun.
You want to take Tyreek Hill?
I'll take Tyreek Hill. Yeah.
I want Tyreek Hill.
No, go ahead. You guys do that.
I say Amon-Ra St. Brown scores more fantasy points from week 11 on than A.J. Brown.
And I say A.J. Brown scores more fantasy points from week 11 on than Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Put it on the board. Put it on the board.
I've never felt worse about having to tell a player that he has been cut than I just did with cutting Amon-Ra St. Brown.
The sun god.
That stunk. I don't like that feeling
that
at all.
I want that clip too.
Doesn't
cut
feel good.
Amon-Ra St. Brown. Cut Dalton Schultz.
Yeah, I know.
Cut all of those guys. Hey, it was a fun show. Thanks for hanging out with us today. Mike, you want to talk about what happened to your wrist or we do not have time?
I don't know. I think we're out of time. It's
1 o'clock. All right. That's
I fell
do
down because I'm an old man.
Yeah, you got yeeted.
I was horsing around like a kid, and I got yeeted by a shopping cart. Let's just say that.
So Mike hurts his wrist when he goes to the grocery store. Tyler Fulgham hangs out with Guy Fieri when he goes to the grocery store.
Slightly different. This is why I don't shop.
One of us is built different.
When is Tyler going to cook for it? Oh, wait. What is today? Wednesday?
Yeah.
Back again tonight.
Back again.
Round two.
Let's go.
See if you do better than a bologna breakfast sandwich.
That's whatever it is.
Shots fired.
Thank you guys for hanging out with us. It is always fun doing a Wednesday show with Field and Mike. We love you guys. Don't forget to love each other. Be kind to yourself.
Sorry, Amon-Ra.
We'll see you tomorrow.
I didn't mean to.
Peace.
I take it back.
You told me before the show you could not wait to cut Amon-Ra St. Brown.
You guys are mean and spiteful.
You were like, I'd rather have his brother Equanimeous the rest of the season.
I do like Equanimeous. I'm not going to lie.
Who doesn't?
It's no secret, not a mystery. The one that we depend on for all our podcast needs. Graduate Full Sail, you Alliance fan through and through. With the hippest beard, I'm telling you.